Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, today we're going to take you to Air Adventure. Well, at least talk about it with our guest today. It's back. The EAA is in Oshkosh next week. We're going to talk about the event and look at efforts to make flying more inclusive. And a couple of guests for you. One is Dick Napinski. Dick is the Senior Communications Advisor for the EAA. And Dick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. It's great to be here.
Great to have you with us. Fareed Guillot, a professional aviator and an aviation enthusiast, our other guest. He's also president of the Willa Brown Aviation Academy. And Fareed, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So as we talk about the Air Adventure today, I hope you'll join in. What's your favorite part of it? Have you visited it often? You know, maybe you don't know anything about it. We'll try and fill you in on that as well. Join in with your questions, your experiences. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Dick, this is a pretty popular show and event, but I know there are people that don't know much about the history of it. Can you give us a brief history of the Air Adventure?
Sure. You know, EAA stands for the Experimental Aircraft Association, and our fly-in and the organization is Wisconsin-born and raised, started in Milwaukee back in 1953 with Paul Poberesny and about three dozen friends of his. And the fly-in is the annual convention of EAA, and it moved to Oshkosh, started in Milwaukee, moved to Rockford, Illinois for 10 years, came to Oshkosh in 1970, and has grown since then. It's now the world's largest fly-in convention, which means people fly their own airplanes to it. More than 10,000 airplanes come to the area for the event each year, and we park thousands of them right here at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. And it's got everything. Smallest ultralight up to 747s will be on the runway at one time or another. And it becomes the world's busiest airport, busier than O'Hare, busier than Hartsfield, busier than Heathrow or Shanghai or anything else out there in the world. And so we will have airplanes landing every 10 to 12 seconds at peak times when everybody comes in this weekend.
Man, for the people guiding them in, that's got to be quite the experience.
It is quite a piece of choreography, working between the ground troops down here and all the air traffic controllers, more than 50 of them. An all-star crew from the FAA comes and works the event each year and brings them all in. And it's interesting, unlike O'Hare, where you have passenger jetliners, this is, you might have a Piper Cub followed by a 747, followed by an F-16 from the Air Force, all coming in with about a minute and a half of one another. So it is, it's a challenge. It's like no other airspace in the world, and it keeps things hopping. We kind of call it aviation's family reunion because everybody comes here at one time or another.
Oh, it is an amazing thing to experience, a sight to behold for sure. Fareed, you've both worked and volunteered at the EAA, and you host a show on EAA radio, as I understand it. What's that experience been like?
It's been incredible to kind of be a part of it. Volunteered in 1994, starting just parking home-built airplanes as they arrived and waving them to their parking spots. And it's kind of just really neat because these people come in from all over. And that's like their one thing they want to do is they want to come to this. Especially if they built their own plane, this is like the chance to show it off, is to come to EAA in Oshkosh and show it off. A couple of times we play a joke and say, welcome to Cleveland. But other than that, it's just great to welcome them. And we started doing radio in the mid-90s, just so that, because there's so many people that really want to be there but can't for whatever reason, work, family. And so we just wanted to have a connection off the field where they could be a part of it. And so that's what we've been doing, interviewing people and bringing some of the programming, including the Daily Air Show. Even though it's hard to listen to an air show, people love it.
Well, one of my old friends, Keith Swalheim, His hobby over his lifetime was building planes, and then sort of taking old planes that were in bad shape and really making them shine. And his he really, really has enjoyed going to that event every year, flying to that event every year. Dick, what should folks expect to see at Air Adventure this year? Maybe talk a little more in detail about some of the events that are going on.
Oh, sure. You know, it's July 26th through August 1st, so it's coming up. We're at that point right now where the volunteers are coming in. We have more than 5,000 volunteers who come and work the event each year, including some areas completely, like EA Radio, completely run by volunteers. And so, but this year, we're going to have a little bit of everything. Starting off the week, a salute to humanitarian aviation, how aviation is used often in an unsung way to provide relief, provide medical services. For instance, Orbis, the Flying Eye Hospital, it's an airliner with a complete eye clinic and eye surgery unit that flies to developing countries and provides eye care to those people with volunteer doctors and volunteer pilots. We have Samaritan's Purse, a DC-8 comes in. They fly out to areas stricken by typhoons, hurricanes, earthquakes. Last year, they flew to Italy with a complete COVID hospital. They'll be here to tell their story. UPS will be here with a 747 that helps deliver COVID vaccines around the world. The Air Force is bringing a C-17 with a complete negative pressure COVID hospital inside of it and telling how they work in countries throughout the world to help with assistance at that point. So that's early on in the week. Also, we'll be talking about urban air mobility. It's something that is starting to take to the fore. What's going to happen next as far as personal transportation that could be airborne? There are some companies out there, a Volocopter, Opener with their Blackfly, that will be here. Some of them will be flying there. Some people say, what's that contraption up in the air? Well, you know, it's we'd like to call it innovation and technology instead. And so those will be here as well. A little bit later on in the week, we'll be saluting the 75th anniversary plus 1 year of the end of World War II with those great World War II airplanes. And the Air Force Special Operations are coming in with all of their aircraft, more than a dozen aircraft coming in to showcase that, because a lot of people who are aviation geeks love to see the big, fast, powerful, sometimes loud aircraft that go by, and they really get into that. And so all of those things taking place, and more than 1,000 forums and workshops and 800 exhibitors. I always say you can buy an airplane T-shirt at AirVenture and then go next door and buy the airplane to match the T-shirt if you'd like. You can do that. So, you know, those are some of the things that we have coming up next week.
And there's an opportunity to go for a ride, too, in one of those bombers, if I'm not mistaken.
There is. You've got some opportunities, everything from a Bell 47 helicopter. Some people may remember those as the helicopters in the MASH TV show with the glass bubble up front. Get a great photo. You can catch a ride here. A 1929 Ford tri-motor airliner, state-of-the-art airline travel in 1929, 90 years ago. You can get a ride on that over the field. Go up in a World War II B-25 bomber or a B-17 bomber. You can purchase those rides. We're flying them out of Appleton, but we shuttle people up from AirVenture, take those flights as well. So those once-in-a-lifetime flying opportunities, too, that you just can't get if you head out to Truax Field or head to Mitchell Airport or any place like that. No, these are one of a kind, and you can see the sights from up in the air during AirVenture as well.
You can win a plane or a car, too.
That's true.
Oh, you can? Tell us about that, Fareed.
Well,
Dick can tell you more, but
well, we've got an aircraft raffle every year where people buy tickets, and at the end of it, we draw one name, and they've won themselves an airplane. And so people do that. Often it's some kind of vintage aircraft, a personal aircraft that has been lovingly restored, and people will get that, and they'll take it and eventually come back and pick it up and fly it home. And then at their home airport, they can say they won the prize at AirVenture that year and have their own airplane to show for it.
You know, COVID came up. You mentioned COVID a couple of times in sort of in passing, and we're talking about some of the things, the ways that AirVenture may help. But last year with COVID, You had to cancel, did you not? And I,
wondering,
that had to have a very a tough, that had to be tough.
That was a tough, tough decision, Larry. But it proved to be the right decision when it came down to it. You know, it's one of those things. Could we have an event looking after the health and safety of not only the attendees, but all our volunteers, the exhibitors, our staff, and so forth? And there was just not that guarantee that large public events could take place. So in early May, before we made too many investments and got too deep into it, we decided to pull the plug. Nothing unusual. A lot of big events ended up with the same fate last year, but we started planning right away for 2021. And I've got to give a shout out to our local and county and state health officials. We've been working with them, especially in Winnebago County up here in Oshkosh, every step of the way. The past 10 months, keeping up with the CDC guidance, what can we do for people? What's the spacing? What's the disinfecting? What's the sanitization protocol? Where are we with masks? All of that. And they've been great partners to make sure we're doing this right, to make sure we've got the health and safety. So we're able to put the protocol for everything up online. People can see it before they get here, understand exactly. And one nice thing, we're 1,500 acres of events, so you can distance pretty well. Almost all of it is outdoors, and you can get outside and enjoy aviation and so forth. And so that's something that's been a big part. But, you know, we're certainly not alone, because every public event is facing the same thing, whether you're Air Ventures, Summerfest, the Badgers, or, you know, a church picnic someplace.
Yeah. Talking today with Dick Nowinski, who is the Senior Communications Advisor for EAA, and Fareed Gio is a professional aviator and aviation enthusiast. He's also president of the Willa Brown Aviation Academy, and we certainly want to hear more about that as well as we move along. You may have some questions about Air Venture in Oshkosh. Again, it's July 26th through August 1st. Maybe you've attended in the past, have a question or comment about it. I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, EAA Air Venture is ready to take off again on July 26th, runs through August 1st. And a couple of guests for you today, Dick Nowinski, Senior Communications Advisor for EAA, and Fareed Gio, a professional aviator, aviation enthusiast. He's also president of the Willa Brown Aviation Academy. Great to have both of them with us. Questions or comments or maybe an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. David in Green Bay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been to Air Venture about 7 or 8 times, and the last time I went down there, my two younger sons, one was going into Navy, the other one's going into Coast Guard. And I said, you know, let's go down. We saved up our money because it's not cheap, but it is well worth every penny. And we rode on the helicopters. We rode on the trimotor. My wife, unbeknownst to me, bought me a ride on a T-6 trainer, open cockpit. And we had a blast. And if you're, you know, slightly interested in airplanes, I mean, I have always been interested in airplanes. But we went down there and spent the whole day. And granted, you got to save your pennies, but it's worth every penny to go. It's just an amazing thing. And my sons, shortly after that, went into the service. But we had just a blast. And I would just totally recommend it to anybody to go down there and spend the day.
Well, David, I thank you so much for calling. Dick, comment from you and maybe talk a bit about cost.
Yeah, and it is. And I'm glad you brought that up. It is something that, you know, we look at it. We also compare what we have each year. You know, certainly when you look at the cost of Packer games or Great America or Noah's Ark or whatever you do with the family. And we're cognizant of that. And so this year, we're happy to announce that for the first time, with the assistance of Boeing, all kids 18 and under are free. this year. Because we know anywhere you go as a family, you pay for tickets and parking and food, and it can get kind of pricey. Like I said, if you go to water parks or amusement parks or a Packer game or anything like that, it can add up in a hurry. You know, we've all had families and been in that situation. So we want to not only make it more affordable for families, thus 18 and under are free, but as David was saying, you take the kids and they get enthused by aviation. We have a whole area there for kid venture, lots of hands-on stuff that you can get involved in, and had more than 25,000 kids come through there 2 years ago. And so we want them to be enthused to learn what's happening with new technology, see some of their history, see the magic of flight. You know, 125 years ago, nobody could fly. Nobody went anywhere. They just looked at the birds. And so, you know, now we can do this, and people can do this on their own, and they can discover this as a pursuit, a career like Fareed has, or just something that's a passion, or just enjoy it and watch the interesting things fly. And so we want to see those kids come out, see those families come out. So again, 18 and under are free this year.
You know, I think it's a good time to bring Fareed in, because I know, Fareed, you have a passion for exposing kids to aviation. Maybe tell us your background. I should have asked you this right off the bat, but talk a little about your own background, training and so forth, and then talk about your work with children a bit.
I was born and raised in Madison, Wisconsin, and I was lucky enough that at the time, my high school, Madison East, had a four-year aviation program in the high school. And so I was able to get my license in my senior year and go off to college and go to an aviation university, get a degree. And so Madison especially, but around the state, has a very strong tradition of educating their youth about aviation. And I did the normal progression through my aviation career with a brief stop in public radio. We won't get into that, but, I've had the chance to fly for individuals and airlines and also work in maintenance areas, and it's just been great. And I'm also an instructor. So it's always great to expose kids to aviation. I've flown lots of EAA Young Eagles, which is a program that has been around since, I believe, 1992 to introduce kids to aviation and give them their first airplane ride, which is that spark that we always want to do. And so now, since some of that initiative around Madison has kind of faded a little bit, we want to get back and reconnect with youth in the area, especially historically underserved communities that wouldn't normally consider aviation as a pursuit, either as an enthusiast or as a professional.
Yeah, and by the way, a fellow Pergolder here from Madison East High
there
School.
There you go.
Well, I want to get into some more of that, but I also want to take some more calls. So we'll come back. I definitely want you to talk some more about the Willie Brown Aviation Academy. But Robert in Kenosha has a question, and maybe John and Boaz, but let's go to Robert first here in Kenosha.
Hey, thank you. I guess this is the appropriate question right now. About 1970, I think I was 8 years old. My brother was in his mid-teens, and I remember him building a glider in our yard and watching it go together and actually watching him fly. It did crash, but he had a lot of fun. He had a lot of fun, and for me, that looking back at that today, you know, when somebody thinks about flying or talks about it, I should say, that to me brings me back to, like, the popular mechanics building the glider and youth. So any gliders at the show? I guess that's my question.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Are there gliders at the show?
There are some gliders at the show. Matter of fact, in past years, especially in the night show, which has always been one of my favorite things, we have them on Wednesday and Saturday night, the 28th and 31st. We featured gliders flying the night air show with pyrotechnics on the wingtips and so forth. And I've always told people that's been one of my favorite performances, watching Bob Carlton fly that jet-powered glider. It took to use the jet engine to get up to altitude and then would just glide. And all you'd hear would be the background music and the air going over the wings. And just that incredible feeling. But I love the story about the glider, because it reminded me of Paul Poberesny. His first flight, was actually from a glider that his teacher back in the late 1930s gave him, and he restored this glider, and he towed it with, he had a buddy drive a car and put a rope on it, and then, you know, it lifted up in the air. And we always asked Paul, you know, what did you learn from that flight? Always keep the nose up, because he too had its kind of ignominious ending to that first flight, and came down, and you know, he was none the worst for wear, but it was one of those things that, yep, you got your first piloting lesson right there. Keep the nose up. And so it, so that's a great story about backyard glider pursuits. But also, for glider, we've got hang gliders being featured at the Twilight Flight Fest, which are on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. And we'll be showing how that hang gliding is a pursuit for people, even if you don't live on near a cliff in California. There are ways to tow hang gliders up that you can reach altitude and enjoy that part of flight as well.
Oh man, that sounds great. And that, and the night show is pretty, can be pretty spectacular, right?
It can be. Yeah. It can be, you know, I'll speak to that, and Fareed can certainly, you know, talk to it too. But I always tell people, you know, when you were a kid and took a sparkler and wrote your name through the air and watched the light trail, you know, imagine doing that with an airplane or with formations of airplanes and seeing everything from jets to gliders and so forth. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun. We've been doing it for about a decade, and it's just been real popular. And I know it just brings people out to the flight line, Fareed.
And a big surprise at the end.
Yeah.
Well, just dangle that out there for you. But, yeah. you know, at each show, and it's just wonderful to see. It's so creative, either with lighting, and a lot of fireworks come off the airplanes too. Some of them, they shoot fireworks off their airplanes. So it's the performers have really gotten creative with this now.
Oh man, that's great. John in Boaz, we'll go to you. John, hi, thanks for calling.
Some of our callers would be interested to know exactly how the jet engine works. Is the thrust caused by the gas burning at a high velocity, or is it from the turbine pushing the air?
Fareed, let's go to you for that.
Well, it depends on what kind of jet engine you're using. It all has to do with what's called bypass. The early jet engines, all the air went through the engine. And now most of the jet engines have some sort of bypass. Your airliners will have a high amount of bypass. 85% of the thrust is provided by the big fan in the front, getting the air spun around, and then it goes around the outside of the engine. And that provides 85% of the thrust. And then the other 15% goes through the engine to keep it, obviously perpetuating the combustion inside the engine, but there is thrust that goes out the back end. The high pressure turbine, of course, provides that. So that is, depending on, again, on your engine, the louder the engine, probably the lower the bypass. We'll put it that way.
Well, I'll age myself here, but I can remember as a little kid growing up out in the country on a farm, occasionally there'd be a sonic boom that would scare the heck out of you. You don't hear that anymore.
No, it's actually prohibited over the U.S., except in military activity areas and so forth. We did have a case probably about 25 years ago. We were supposed to get a sonic boom, and one happened, and they were flying a Blackbird, an SR-71. And they were actually going home from Milwaukee for maintenance. And I think this is probably an unclassified story now, so I think I can tell it. But it was, but they came back, and it was about a week later, and I was actually playing golf on a day off. And suddenly I heard this big boom, and I looked up at about 50,000 feet, and there was a Blackbird skedaddling across the sky. And the pilot said, well, we promised you all a sonic boom, so we were going to give you one. And so I think he's retired now from the Air Force, so I think we're fine on that one. And
oh man, that's a great story, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Gene in Lake Geneva, we'll go to you now. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I'd really like to encourage all high school teachers, particularly, to visit the EAA and see the possibilities. Because at Central High in Paddock Lake, we have an extracurricular program where kids can build their own airplane and learn to fly it. That plane is now based in Burlington, and the company that provides the kits buys them back, and then they get a new kit when they're finished. So it's a really incredible learning experience for those kids. And, you know, when people talk about aviation, there's always the mention of pilots. you forget that behind every pilot, there are many, many mechanics, and there's a real shortage of aviation mechanics. My husband flew all over the world working for major corporations as their jet mechanic, and he's had a fabulous career. So I really want to encourage people to take a look at that possibility.
Well, Gene, thanks so much for calling. And Farid, I want to go to you because a lot of the work you do goes right to kind of what Gene was talking about.
Yeah, Gene, I'm glad you brought that up because at the very least, we're trying to create enthusiasts, because then you can, even if you don't want to do any of this, even as a recreational, you can go out and you can support aviation activity. But as a career pursuit, we actually have a mechanic shortage too. And we have a shortage of engineers. And so everybody talks about the pilot shortage, but there is this whole symphony of people behind us that also technical and rigorous. And we need all of those people to support the flight operations that go on every day in the U.S. that a lot of people take for granted. So if you don't want to fly the airplanes, you can always wrench on the airplanes, as we call it. And at any level, you can work out of the local airport and have a business, or you can be a part of a major operation repairing airplanes. So it's don't limit yourself to just fly or no fly. There is plenty to do. And that's what we're
wrench
trying to
at
do.
The airport.
Yeah, wrench at the airport.
Wrench at the, I like that. I like that a lot. Well, tell your organization, the Willow Brown Aviation Academy, part of that role is to get young people, especially people who may be disadvantaged, a chance to learn about mm-hmm. aviation. Talk about what you do. And maybe first talk about, I'm sure there are people who are saying, I wonder who Willow Brown is.
Yeah.
So maybe talk.
Absolutely.
Quite an amazing person she was.
Well, Willow Brown was actually, she was really hit her stride in the 1930s. She was the first, we believe she's the first African-American woman to get a U.S. pilot's license. Bessie Coleman got her license overseas first. So she's the first African-American woman to get a pilot's license. Willow Brown was also the first African-American to get a mechanics license. So we were just talking about mechanics, and Willa Brown was that. She married a man named Cornelius Coffey, and they started a flight academy in the Chicago area in the 30s and 40s. And they sent about 200 pilots to Tuskegee to do further flight training. And she also was the first African-American officer in the Civil Air Patrol as well. She ran for Congress on the Republican ticket in two primaries in Illinois in the late 40s, early 50s. And then she spent the rest of her life teaching business and aviation in Chicago public schools. Just an incredible aviator. Mm-hmm. We are so fortunate that the family of Willa Brown let us use her name for our organization, because they said they don't let many people do that. And so we are very honored, considering we just broached the subject a couple months ago. This will be our first camp this summer in Madison. To reach historically underserved communities of the 155,000 commercial and professional airline pilots in the U.S., 94% of them are white. There's 5%3% is black, and less than 1% are women, black women aviators. Women are about 5%, and so there is a historic mismatch or historic imbalance there that we're trying to positively bring forth. And that is to say, it starts with just a spark again. And so we've reached out these communities. We have 19 campers, and we're going to have tours of the airport, hands-on activities. And then we're going to do what's called a special Young Eagle event. They're gonna have a flight experience where they get to go up and fly. And the great thing about the EAA Young Eagles program is they've already set up, and Dick can speak a lot to this, but after that flight, you don't just get dropped off and say, okay, good luck. You get connected with a free ground school. You get a certificate for a first flight lesson, connections to scholarships, and membership in the EAA. There's so many, and this is where our organization also is going to be doing similar things. We're going to have events, and we're going to eventually grow and support these kids, try to launch them forward and connect them with the aviation world and say, this is yours too.
That's wonderful. Dick, anything to add there?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm so excited about what Fareed and his group is doing, because those are exactly the communities we want to bring in with the upcoming shortage of pilots, upcoming shortage of mechanics. Just introducing young people to what the possibilities are tremendous. And he's right about the Young Eagles program. Afterwards, every young eagle has the opportunity to take the ground school, be prepared to take their FAA ground school test when they go through that, absolutely free. Sporty's Pilot Shop gives that to us and says, we want kids involved in aviation. And at Air Venture next week, we're going to be introducing the Aero Educate program online. Teachers can use it. Parents can use it. Young people can use it. It's online. It's a program to build skills and knowledge about aviation to do that. And so we're looking forward to introducing that as well. So all of those things coming together. We had a caller mention about the teachers and in the schools. We're going to have several hundred teachers here on Friday during Air Venture Week, and we'll be talking to them. How do you introduce aviation and all the science involved in it and technology and the opportunities to the classroom? Here are some ideas for curricula that you can put into force. And we're working with North Carolina State University to build that up a little bit, to get more teachers involved in the classroom, giving them the ideas, no cost, low cost ideas to get it into the classroom and do exactly what Fareed was talking about. Let's introduce it where the kids are, either in the classroom or online, and meet them there and get them intrigued by it and say, this is an opportunity, either as a passion or as a career. It's all right there.
And to tie it up, go ahead, Fareed. Sorry.
To tie it back to Air Venture, put a plug in for my company. We've confirmed that Houston Mills, who is the vice president for flight operations and safety and flew the first vaccine flights, he will be arriving on Tuesday and will be on EA radio in the 10 o'clock hour to speak about obviously UPS, but also he is African-American, and that's great that we have African-Americans, Latinos, and other underrepresented groups ascending into aviation, but he's kind of the exception right now to the rule. And so we want to increase that more, but he will be there. And so that is exciting because that's what we want kids from these communities to see, is their own people in these roles and mm-hmm. succeeding. And that will spark people forward.
And, you know, just thinking about the jobs. I mean, if you're a mechanic, an air mechanic, I mean, and they're in short supply, you that's probably a pretty darn good career.
Oh, it's an excellent career. The example, Gulfstream, which is right up in Appleton, a major maintenance base for Gulfstream jets that are used around the world. They bring the jets to Appleton, and they've just expanded by a couple of hundred jobs up there, good paying jobs for mechanics. And again, the skills that are developed by the people in those jobs are just incredible to watch. And, those are the kind of things. Most of us hop on an airliner and just go from place to place and, really don't think about it. The airplane works, and so off we go wherever we want to go. That's not going to change. And more and more of the aircraft builders, they're working on technology. How do we make it greener? How do we do that? You see electric-powered aircraft at Air Venture. But all of those things need the human mind behind it to either create it or maintain it. Not only fly it, but all of those things become part of it. And those are the opportunities out there. We're not even talking about the company structures or the business structures around them that take everything from the finance to the marketing people to make it work. So there's a lot in aviation. It's a great time to be looking at that because there's going to be growth in the future.
And Tom wondered, caller wondered about electric planes. You mentioned electric planes. What's going on with that technology? Is that coming to the fore?
It is coming to the fore, and it's developing. The big challenge has always been to make a battery system big enough to fly an airplane for any length of time. When you make a battery system that big, it weighs more, so you need more frame. So therefore, you need a bigger battery to power the airplane up, which means that you need a bigger battery, which means it weighs more, which means you need a bigger airframe to do it. So how do you break that cycle and make that work? And people are coming up with that, those power units. We've seen some of the pioneering work. Some of the big companies, such as Airbus and others, are getting into that as well. They're looking at it. And some of the companies such as, you know, Amazon and, you know, those companies are looking at it as well. How do we develop this? And you see even people such as Toyota and Honda and some auto manufacturers, Honda's into jets now too, but they're looking at electric power aircraft. So the companies are there. They're saying, what is next? What's that next horizon that maybe we don't always have to run on fossil fuels to do that? And that's a big consideration that's being talked about in aviation right now.
That technology has really matured too. When I was an aviation journalist in 2009, 2010, there was a prize to try to just get an electric airplane in the air and see who could do it first. And now it is ho-hum, and they're going into you know, the next level.
Well, it's and we can see that the electric planes at Air Venture, I would guess, and a whole lot more. And just to remind everybody, Dick, talk again about what we're going to see and the dates and what does it cost to get in?
Sure. Best place to go for all the information is EAA.org, EAA.org. Just click on the Air Venture tab. But it's Aviation's Family Reunion, July 26th through August 1st. You'll see, I'd like to say if it has flown, is flying, or will fly, it'll be at Oshkosh at some point in time. Matter of fact, just remember, Richard Branson went up in space just a week or so ago. That mothership, VMS Eve, was at Air Venture in 2009. Jeff Bezos is going up very soon. That rocket booster was at Oshkosh. Yep, just went up. That rocket booster was at Oshkosh in 2017. So those are the things you might see. You're going to see our history, our legacy, and our future all in one place. Hope to see a lot of people out on the flight line.
And 18 and under are admitted for free, you're saying?
Are admitted for free, thanks to Boeing. And so happy to see that come along. So bring the family out too.
And Fried, it sounds like your August program for young potential aviators or mechanics is full. I think you already have a full load.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, just keep at the website, willofflight.org. We may try to do a fall event. We're just feeling our footsteps here. But definitely, we have a five-year plan, so we're going to have plenty of programming next year and just get these people perpetually engaged, not just a one-off event.
And what's the website again?
Willaflight.org, W-I-L-L-A-flight.org.
Well, this has been a real pleasure. I have a chance to talk with both of you. I really appreciate you guys taking the time, and let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Oh, by all means. Thank you so much. I can talk airplanes all day. That's
yeah. And Fareed and I have, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. There you go. Well, Dick Navinsky is the Senior Communications Advisor for the EAA. And Fareed Gil, a professional aviator, aviation enthusiast, and also president of the Willa Brown Aviation Academy. Both these people are doing some wonderful work. And if you get a chance, what a great way to spend a weekend to visit the EAA Air Venture. I have a hard time pronouncing that for some reason. But regardless of that, go take a look, and I know you're going to enjoy it. And again, go to Fareed's website too to learn more about the about his organization. Again, it's the Willa Brown Aviation Academy. And if you put that in willa.org, I think it is, you're going to find it. Well, we're going to go from the air to the water coming up next. In particular, the water that's flowing in the Mississippi River. That coming up next. Reggie McLeod, our guest, to talk about the Big River Magazine and what's going on along the Mississippi River. There's really lots of interesting things going on, as a matter of fact. He'll tell us all about them. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.